Welcome to Sports Connections with David Smale, a podcast that brings fun and interesting connections throughout sports. As an author and sports journalist, David has been interviewing fascinating people in sports for more than 40 years. Now here's your host, David Smale.
On Sunday evening, approximately 100 million Americans, plus millions more around the world, will watch the Super Bowl. That's based on last year's number, and with the current COVID situation in our country, that number could go even higher. Some of us will watch for the football game. Some will watch for the commercials. Others will watch for the halftime show. Now, I'm not here to tell you why you should watch, though it is a football game, but the announcement of who will be the featured act on the Pepsi Super Bowl halftime show, as it's called, is almost as big as who is playing in the game to many people. This year's headline act is called The Weeknd, and I have to admit that I don't care. Halftime is the only time I have to refill my plate and use the restroom. I can't do that during the game because I'd miss a play, and often the commercials are worth sitting through as well. But the halftime show is the most important part of the broadcast for a lot of people, and the work that goes into the production is as arduous as the team's preparation for the big game. Months of planning and weeks of practice are spent to make sure the halftime show looks effortless. Our guest today is Andrea Albino, and she has worked on the crew for the halftime show for the last 4 years. I love the backdrop. It's the first halftime show you worked in Houston. So, Andrea, welcome to Sports Connections.
Yes, David, thanks so much for having me.
How did you get involved in this production? This is a pretty big deal.
Yes, well, at the time I was living in Houston, and the city was beginning to market for the Super Bowl 51. And I decided I just needed to be a part of it. And I didn't know how. I didn't know where to begin. But I did start searching on the internet, and I came across a host committee volunteer application. And I thought that would be a great way to get involved and volunteer and be a part of the fun. These ambassadors support all the Super Bowl fan events, and it's very energetic, and it's a lot of fun. So I thought, yeah, that's a good place to be. Well, I signed up, and then immediately after that, they sent me an email and said they're no longer accepting ambassadors, they're completely full, and they're good to go. So I was a little bummed out, but, you know, no loss there. But then several weeks later, I got another email, and it was from the Super Bowl halftime show production company, and they were asking if I wanted to be a part of the Super Bowl halftime show. And honestly, if I had to pick anything that has that I could work out with this Super Bowl, it would be the halftime show. So definitely was hyped up and thrilled about that. So I said immediately yes. And then to sweeten the deal, I did find out it was a paid position. So not only am I, you know, went from, oh, I'll be a volunteer, but now I get to be a part of exactly what I would want to do and get paid for it.
So you're one of those people that tune into the Super Bowl to watch the halftime show, not to watch the football game or even the commercials. Is that right?
That's probably pretty accurate.
I know your husband. I know he's a football fan. Does he just kind of put up with you on Super Bowl Sunday? And, you know, you do things during the game, and then he does those things that take care of the girls during the halftime show so you can watch when you weren't actually part of it?
Yes. You know, we support each other. He gets his football time, and I get, the production time. So it's all about balance, you know.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So talk about, you know, I mentioned in the introduction that it looks effortless when you're watching. Well, the few times I've actually watched it, or I'm watching as I'm walking through from the kitchen or whatever, it looks effortless. But just talk about all the effort that goes into producing or pulling it off, I guess, should say. How many people will be involved in that production this Sunday?
This Sunday will be a lot different than the past Sundays. So typically in the past, we have a crew anywhere between 500 to 800 people, just depending upon the stage needs and the needs of audio and all the technology. Because the technology is always, you know, progressing each year, sure, which allows us to have a bigger and better show, which then we need more hands on deck kind of a thing. But this Sunday, I don't know the official head count, but it will be significantly less.
And is that strictly because of COVID, or does the weekend need less help?
No, it's definitely because of COVID. So unfortunately, there's been just a select few that are going to be helping with the production of it. And so I'm not sure exactly what that will look like. I know that The Weeknd is an excellent performer, and either way, the show will be amazing, just like they have in the past.
All right, I gotta ask, name one song that The Weeknd does, or what they're famous for. I've never heard of the band. You know, sometimes, like a few years ago, Paul McCartney, and I've heard of him. You know, I've heard of, I don't follow all the bands. I don't even enjoy them. I don't know any Lady Gaga songs or anything like that, but what is The Weeknd famous for?
I would say the number one song for him would be Blinding Lights. So definitely look that up.
Okay.
Blinding Lights. Yeah. So check that out. And then, you know, who knows, you might go, you know, I think I did hear that song because it's been playing all year long.
Okay.
So you should.
Yeah, but it's not on sports radio, so I don't know that I've heard it anyway.
That's true.
So The Weeknd is not a band, it's a guy.
Correct.
Is that his given name, or is that his...
The Weeknd.
Our son, The Weeknd.
The Weeknd, and it is spelled a little different than the real Weeknd, but...
Okay.
But yeah, either way, he's going to do an amazing show. It'll be great.
Can you sing that song for us now, so we just get a preview?
Well, I think you should look it up. Because The Weeknd is, he's the best at it. You know, I can't compete with that.
Okay. How, with a scaled back crew, how hard will it be for that crew to pull this off?
Well, it won't be terribly difficult for them because they're going to be given only what they can handle.
Right.
Like I said, it'll definitely look different. Mm-hmm. Normally, again, we have these large stage pieces to put together, and they might not necessarily have that. I'm not sure. Again, it'll still look amazing. There might be just a different setting that we've seen in the past.
Okay. Just walk us through some of the nitty gritty. What do you do as part of the crew? I know sometimes, you know, you're going to be charged with helping to assemble the stage. Sometimes it's going to be moving stuff. Sometimes it's just, what types of things do you do as part of the halftime crew?
Yeah, well, our field team crew puts together the most watched stage in the world. And the stage is made up about 40 to 50 pieces, large pieces on wheels. And each piece is very, very heavy. And as we get usually closer to the Super Bowl Sunday, different elements can be added to those mm-hmm. pieces, such as speakers and lighting. Sometimes pyrotechnics will be added, and maybe hydraulics. And then with these separate pieces, we practice building the stage over and over again. So the first time we put together this stage, when we all come together the first time, it takes us over an hour to put it together.
Yeah.
Our goal is less than 7 minutes.
Wow.
So huge difference, right? What practice makes. Then, you know, and this stage not just is put together, it needs to be secured for safety, locked, everything plugged in, the audio, the pyro, of course, needs to be plugged in properly in under 7 minutes. And then the artist usually gets about 13 minutes to do the performance. And then once that show is done and completed, immediately we have about 4 minutes to pull everything off the field and then out of that stadium. So we call it the 24-minute miracle because by some miracle, this all comes together, going from it takes us hours, you know, to put together. And then in 24 minutes, we have an entire show that, again, as you mentioned, looks flawless and the whole world gets to see and enjoy.
And you talked about you when you first practice, it takes more than an hour. How many days do you get to practice building that to whittle it down to 7 minutes?
Yeah, we arrive on the site about 2 weeks prior to Super Bowl Sunday, and I would say we have about 6 to 8 practices within those weeks. And each practice can be about 5 hours long. And sometimes within those 5 hours, we'll get the stage together just 3 times. Again, since we're a crew of 500 to 800 people, going from this direction over to that direction takes a long time.
Yeah.
Everybody to get on beat. It's over and over again, like I said, putting it together. But yeah, and then the last 3 rehearsals are full dress rehearsals. So the artists will arrive and we'll go through that multiple times so that everybody's comfortable.
Do you ever get to, I'm not sure how to say it, get to be a part of the halftime show? You know, I've seen many of them. And I guess I'm admitting that I watch a little more than I said.
Ah.
When, you know, and maybe it's, you know, my plate's full and I'm going to sit down and eat and I don't want to miss the start of the second half. But I've seen where there's a crowd of people around the stage. Is that you guys or is that another whole crew?
That's a great question, because normally it is an entirely different crew and that we call them the cast. So if it looks nice and flawless and rehearsed, it's because it is. And last year we were, my crew, the field team, was able to be a part of that as well to fill in. We had a huge stage last year and we needed a lot of people to surround it. Not only for the look and the aesthetic of it, but of course there's safety. We want everybody to be safe and everything too. So yes, I was a part of the concert goers last year, which is really fun and added more dynamic, and it was a really good time.
Now the one that's over your shoulder now was Super Bowl 51. We see on the Jumbotron behind you.
Yes.
And who was the performer at that one?
This was Lady Gaga.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember or if you've seen it, this is the one where she did jump off the stadium and descend down on cables to begin her performance.
Okay. I don't remember that, but I'll go with it. So she descended from the top of the stadium then down to the stage.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. How fun was that to put together?
Really fun and really neat. And she is such a talent, and has amazing energy. She did that scene so many times in practice. I mean, when you're on cables floating in the air in the middle of a giant stadium, you know, it looks intense. So yeah, I mean, that was a lot of practice to, just make sure that looks flawless and that she lands where she's supposed to land.
Yeah. And we'll get back to that here in a little bit. I've been at 2 Super Bowls working security. I've never covered it as a sports writer, but I've been there working security. And one of them was in Houston. It was Carolina and New England. And I couldn't tell you what Roman numeral it was. I don't speak Roman. But it was the one. It's probably best known, well, for us football fans, it's best known for Adam Vinatieri's game-winning kick in the final seconds. But for most Super Bowl fans who are casual football fans, it's remembered for the wardrobe malfunction. So will there be any wardrobe malfunctions at this year's halftime show?
Definitely not.
Okay.
We can't have that ever again.
No.
Ever again. We're good.
And it's funny because my duty at that one, I was running interference for the camera crew that was filming the Patriots coming in and out of the locker room. So before the game, I was up in the tunnel. At the end of the first half, I was running interference as the Patriots were coming off, and I was up in the tunnel. So I didn't see the halftime show, which didn't bother me a whole lot. And then I let them back during the game. I was standing on the 20-yard line, so I'm on a lot of Super Bowl highlights, the back of my head in my yellow CSC event staff jacket. But people say, oh, you were there. Did you see? No, I didn't get to see that, fortunately, and got to avoid that. So, but yeah, that seeing the Super Bowl at NRG Stadium, or I don't remember what it was called back then, that brings back some memories.
Yeah, it was a different, they did call it something else, and I don't know what that was.
Yeah,
but yes,
I don't remember. I don't remember either. I worry about the games, who played, who won, stuff like that. I don't worry about it. Now we're going to have George Toma, the head groundskeeper for all 55 Super Bowls, on our show Monday. And we recorded that interview a few weeks ago because he was getting ready already to head to Tampa. How does the crew get ready for game time when the grounds crew wants to have that field in pristine shape, for the start of the game?
Yes. And I would say this is one of our top challenges. Especially last year in Miami, they had beautiful natural grass.
Yeah.
Right when you entered the stadium, you could smell the freshness of the grass. It was beautiful. Like you said, pristine. It was great. It was amazing. But on most practice days in Miami, we were outside of the stadium in a parking lot, and they mocked it up just like a field with the yard lines and everything to help us as a guide. And then once we were able to get into the stadium, the entire field was covered in a giant tarp, which, you know, you go from pushing these giant pieces on wheels to on asphalt to this somewhat unstable surface with the grass and the tarp. So, you know, our brains really do have to go, okay, how is this? We're pushing a little bit, you know, a little more harder with that, but still maintaining the safety, make sure everybody's okay, because these are large pieces. But it's definitely a different feel. And then the last few, we ended up canceling some practices because specifically because of the grass.
Okay.
So that was, you know, probably a little stressful for some of us, because it's like, well, we still aren't under 7 minutes. How in the world is this going to be pulled together? But I think we think that every time we start practicing, how is this all going to come together? Yeah. But those last few practices, we were allowed on the field. They do put some plywood underneath the tires as it's sitting to not have so many pressure points in the field. But it does always end up okay from our end, I think. You might have to check in with your friend later on.
Now the actual performance, there's no tarp. You're pushing it on real grass, right?
Yes. And again, when that tarp is gone, then that's a whole nother thing. It is a little more challenging because the grass has more grip than that slick tarp. So, but again, last year we pulled it off, and I think it was, like I said, it needed to be under 7 minutes. I think we were 6 minutes and 42 seconds.
Wow.
So that was, phew, we got it.
Commercial time,
Right, exactly. But everyone involved, you know, is trying to be flexible for all parties. Everybody has, you know, their thing that they need to provide to the game and to the show. But luckily, you know, everybody, like I said, is very flexible for each other so that we can all in the end put together this successful event.
And it's interesting. I expected George, and I've known him for a while, and he's, you know, he was the head groundskeeper last year at Super Bowl 54 on his 91st birthday. And yet he is still, you know, he is meticulous to an extreme. So I expected him, when I brought this subject up, I expected him to complain about having to work around you guys. He was very gracious. He said, you know, they've got a job to do, and we work together, and we give, you know, we mock up the parking lot so they can practice. And when they have to do it on the field, we make any fixes that we need, but they do a great job. So I was pleased to hear that he accepted the fact that that's just part of the show must go on. So,
right. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, you've probably, in your 4 years, you've probably had some funny stories of interaction with teams or with acts or whatever. Do you, anything come to mind of things you go, boy, I wasn't expecting that?
there's a few, yes. I can remember, I think it was at Atlanta, we're standing around letting performers do their thing as the stage is put together. And I think we were a group of us were standing in the end zone. The artist was taking a bit of a break. And then this guy walks by and says, move, and then just walks on. And we're going, I mean, we're in this giant field. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room. And then it was several minutes later, Adam Levine was in the middle of this, of his posse, let's say that, his posse walking by. But again, there's plenty of room.
Yeah.
The end zone. It's a huge space. We can spread out. But so we were just trying to figure out, why are we supposed to move? What's happening? There's a lot of little things like that that would happen. Trying to think what else. For the most part, we meet so many amazing people, and we now with the team, like I said, it's about, you know, 500 to 800 people, but there's about 150 of us that keep going back. And now the staff calls us the travel party.
Okay.
And so now that we're this travel party, it's almost like having this small family, and it makes it easier to go to these large cities and hang out because they're there, and we've built that relationship, and we have, you know, a ton of inside jokes. And yeah, we get to talk about all the maybe hiccups that happen that, you know, viewers at home wouldn't ever notice or even consider even a hiccup. So we just have a lot of those tight knit relationships. So we have our own little funny jokes.
Sure. And wouldn't do you any good to share them here because we wouldn't understand them.
But exactly.
Do you get to interact with the acts frequently, occasionally, rarely? What's that like?
Some of us might get to meet them, but not anything official.
Okay.
Some of the staging pieces, the artist would be standing right on. Some are movable. So they'll be moving the artist on this piece of stage, and we'll have conversations. But again, nothing too official.
Yeah.
I would say. But I do remember this first Super Bowl that I did in Houston. Lady Gaga was amazing. She first shows up to rehearsals, and she ran through this crew. And remember, we're 500 to 800 people, and she's running. As she's running, she's giving everybody a high five. So she took the time to give everybody a high five. And then when she got on stage, she seemed she was so humble and so grateful. She laid down on the stage and just told us how thankful she was to be there and for everyone involved in this show. And that was really nice to see a celebrity being so down to earth and natural and humbled, you know, by the experience. Plus the stage piece that she was on at the end was the star-shaped staircase that she jumped off of. That was my stage piece. And so, you know, as they say, save the best for last. So that was mine, which is behind me, little stars case there.
Okay.
She was great to work with. I would say she's my favorite. Maybe that's because that was my first Super Bowl halftime show, but I'm going to stick with that.
Okay. Did you have any, and if the answer is no, that's fine. Do you have any stories about somebody being difficult to work with?
You know, I wouldn't say anybody has been outwardly difficult, luckily. Now, there has been a few artists that, you know, they have a busy life like the rest of us. So they may not show up to each rehearsal. Yeah. But either way, the artist knows exactly what to do on the showtime day.
Yeah.
So we've not had any problems with that.
Yeah, I remember when I was at the one in Houston, and again, my duty was to run interference for the camera crew. I was in my spot 3 hours before the game, and there's nothing going on. And then as the Patriots are coming, they're coming out of their locker room, you can hear them getting fired up. I look, and all of a sudden, here is a group of players' wives opening up the strollers, and they want to go down the tunnel, and I've got to get them out of the way. And then I get back to my post, and here's Kid Rock. He wasn't even in the show. He was just showing up that year, and he said, excuse me. And I said, no, I need to keep this area clear. And he said, but I'm Kid Rock. And I said, nice to meet you. I'm David Smale. I'll get back there. And that was the highlight of the whole thing for me. And so, you know, as the anticipation is building, and I have to go out and get somebody to move. And I look and here, and the Patriots are like, the head guy is like 20 feet away from me. And I turn around, and right here is George Bush, the former president. His son was I don't remember if it was still in office or just taken. He was in office at least. Mm-hmm. But the older George Bush was right there. And I said, Mr. President, I'm a big fan. I don't want you hurt. I need you to move. And I made the mistake of putting my hand on his shoulder. And I see about five Secret Service guys reach inside their jackets. And I look back to the Patriots, and I look back, and he's gone. And they got him out of there. But I thought, man, how close did I get to getting shot? And then later, the pregame, what's the guy, Josh Groban, sings that song he was famous for, I Lift You Up or whatever. And so at the time, my daughter was junior or senior in high school. And I get home, and I'm telling her and my wife all about things that happened. And yes, I got to put my hand on the shoulder of the former president of the United States, and I almost got shot by Secret Service. And my daughter says, and you touched Josh Groban. So that's my highlight with that. So for those of us who are football fans, I got to ask you, do you get to watch the game?
Well, when we're not doing our job, we do get to watch the game on TV like everyone else.
No, not in, you don't get to be inside the stadium to watch it.
No, definitely not. We didn't pay for a ticket, so we technically don't belong there.
Okay.
But we do meet in a secret location, undisclosed. They do have big screen TVs put up so that we can view the beginning of the game. And then when it gets a little bit closer, not too close to halftime show, but a little bit closer as the game goes on, we all get on a bus and we're police escorted to the stadium. Cool. And David, this has to be like my favorite part because, again, going through these major cities with a police escort, that means no stoplights, no people ramping on to the highways. And I remember in Atlanta, we went through a very small neighborhood to get to the stadium. And so many people came out of their homes to record us in our big bus parade. And they were cheering and waving us on towards the stadium. I mean, we really felt like a big deal. But, you know, those police escorts are essential because if we're not there in time for this show, there's no show.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, I understand you grew up near Kansas City, so you're probably a Chiefs fan as much of a football fan as you are. So you got to be a part of it last year when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. Was that more special for you, or were you just so focused on the job at hand that got lost that it was the Chiefs?
Yeah, well, it was extra special for me because there seemed to be a little bit of a boost of fandom amongst our group. Because even if, some of my crew weren't necessarily Chiefs fans, they were, however, Patrick Mahomes fans.
So,
they definitely loved him. Therefore, there were way more Chiefs fans in the crew than I thought than ever before. So that was fun. But no matter what, you know, I and the rest of us have that job to focus on at hand. And it takes everyone involved to make it happen. Now that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean I might snag a few pictures here and there for my own, to take home. But yes, definitely focused, but again, very special to see everybody hyped up for not only the Chiefs, but Patrick Mahomes as well.
So you don't get to go back to the stadium afterwards. So you didn't get any Super Bowl confetti.
Not this time. I didn't. I wasn't able to do the show in the end. They do, you know, bring out the confetti cannons and a few extra pieces for the ambiance. But yeah, so unfortunately, I wasn't able to participate in that. I did have several friends that were, and they bagged up their little Ziploc bags of confetti, wanting to send it to me. And
if you need some,
you've got
I still have a little. I went by George Thoma's house, as I mentioned. I've been friends with him for a while, and I did a book on the history of the Chiefs, and he helped me with some pictures and things like that. And I took him one, and it was right after. Obviously it was after the Super Bowl and he said, "Hey, do you want some confetti?" And he brings out a garbage bag full, and he just gives me a gallon Ziploc bag. And I've given that to some of my family as well. So you're not there this weekend. We've established that. Will you go back next year if the opportunity is there?
The Super Bowl next year will be held in Los Angeles. And I have already begun preparing my travel plan. So yes, if they'll have me back, you know, with hopefully the COVID situation dies down tremendously, then yes, short answer, yes, I want to be there.
Okay. And my final question for you, can your crew use one more person, even if he's an old man?
David, our field team members range in ages from 18 to 80.
Oh.
So without a doubt, you definitely could handle it.
All right. Well,
I'll send you an application.
There you go. Put in a good word for me. So, well, Andrea, it's been fun. I may actually have to watch The Weeknd this weekend. I've been saving that one from the very beginning, but I may have to watch the halftime show, even though I know you're not part of it this year. I may have to watch it to see how seamlessly it goes. And maybe we can visit after the fact and you can tell me what mistakes you saw in the production that wouldn't have happened had you been there.
Definitely. For sure. We'll definitely have to powwow that out afterwards. And let me know what you think of the song Blinding Light and how you feel about The Weeknd after you do some research.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, David.
Thanks for listening to Sports Connections with David Smail. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and rate the show from your favorite podcast platform. You can learn more about David Smail and his work by visiting davidsmailbooks.com. Don't forget to join us weekly for new episodes. Until next time.